Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, just raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. When you feel you're all alone, praise His name. And when you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you just praise His name. I know you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. Faith begins to grow, and you're not alone. So how can you be lonely when everything falls apart? Praise His name. And when you have a broken heart, just raise your hands and say, He'll take the pain away. And when it seems you're all alone, praise His name. And when you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater.
Verse 21, very common passage of scripture, so it says, and being fully persuaded. Now you think about that. He was fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. There's a lot that could be said if we just took that one passage of scripture right there this evening as a context, which we may go on here, but let's think about. And this goes on, and it was imputed unto him of this faith. We know that when he had believed the promise of the Lord, knowing that even his companion had laughed at the angel of the Lord, for when they was way beyond age, and even as the scriptures here said, even a consideration of a deadness of the womb. And then yet this promise was fulfilled that he brought forth a seed. When there was a promise unto him that would be that the seed would multiply and be so innumerous in number that it couldn't even be numbered. But then yet, as it looked like this promise would have been impossible to fulfill. As they got way up in age and wife barren and not able to bring forth a child. But then yet, he knew what God promised that he could perform. And what happened? It took place. Now think about this for a moment, brothers and sisters. Now you think about the way the mind works, the mind of unbelief. The mind, the carnal mind, enmity with God, that doesn't believe. Now you think that when a promise is given, and in all of these things that would look so much against what was promised, you think about the age factor, the years that had gone by, and all of the things that it would have been easily to just say, well, you know, I don't believe this. I guess I can't receive this. But you know, he was persuaded in his mind, and he believed, and he stood on the promise of God. What has God promised you tonight? What has God promised you tonight that the enemy, the adversary, has come and tried to rob away from you? Now, when we think of the adversary or the enemy, and here we find a man aging, you say, well, is that the enemy or the adversary? You know, well, here's a man aging up, but he was still persuaded. But what is it in your life that God has promised you, and he's made a promise to you, and he made a covenant with you by the shedding of his blood, and he made a covenant with you and put many things down? We sing songs, you know, about the promises of God. We go through life and we say, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I believe in the Word. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you truly believe in it, you're persuaded in your heart and believe that he did what he said and gave you what is promised, then I would say, what is this perspective of time in your life that you find your faith shipwrecked? Or you find yourself weak? When God has put all kinds of things around about you to move you, to shake you, to wake you, or whatever. Now, everything that's happening in your midst and in your life is the ordination of God. So oftentimes, you take of this situation with Sarah, they could say, oh man, this is nothing but the devil. You know, this is the enemy of God. But how would God have received the glory and show that there is a place to stand and continue to stand and to continue to believe? What is it possibly that may be in your midst or within your life, within your physical being, or within your business affairs, or with your financial status, or with whatever? You know, there's so many things that we have got to get a hold and be totally persuaded in our heart and in our mind that we're going to stand and believe. Now, the thing is that in many times, you know, when we pray, as the Bible says, and I brought some of these things out the other evening about, we pray amiss. And when we find ourselves praying amiss, we find that the petition isn't granted unto us for one reason, that we pray amiss. Now, the thing is you think, well, what is it if I pray amiss outside of the will of God? Do you realize that many times, you see, if Jesus would have prayed, he said, Lord, I want this cup to pass before me, he would have been praying amiss. Do you realize that? Lord, don't let me suffer on that cross. Don't let me be spitten upon and beaten. Don't let me be persecuted. Don't let me go through these things. He would have been praying amiss, but what did he say? He said, but Lord, let thy will be done. Now the thing is if we know that ye that win souls are wise and we want to be numbered as soul winners, then how do we pray? You see, do we pray for what is always seems to be good for ourselves? Is that the proper way to pray? Oh God, do this for me. Oh God, do this for me. Oh God, do this for me. Help me, help me, help me do this. But then yet many times the Lord allows things in your life, in my life, in the brethren's life, we could say, that would do something to glorify the kingdom of God. And you say, can God find glory in sickness? Can he find glory in death? Can he find glory in those things? Well, if you would go and understand the scriptures, and you would find out that even the Lord's, when he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he'd done that for he could receive the glory, and it seemed so opposite of the will and the mind of God. But he did it for he could show his strength and his power. Well, where could God glory in sickness? How could he glory in such a thing? Well, how about if we're going to talk about Jesus Christ being the glory of God, and how do we understand him in the glory? It's through the death. Or he would be no different than any other man unless he did resurrect. So something that seemed to be not so glorious had partaken or befell him that we could see the glory of him. So we say that now I am more than a conqueror in Christ, according to the scriptures. So if I'm more than a conqueror in Christ, then that means I've conquered something. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I believe that you conquered death and hell, the grave. And I say, yea and amen. But then you would speak like that and think, well, this will be seen someday in a futuristic hope or in the resurrection, you might say. But you see, this is something that's present in this present day and hour. That the thing is that we are put into positions and places and walk of life. Each and every one of us, if the headship of a church, if it's the headship of a home, if it's a headship of a business, whatever it is that you are walking into, God is putting you in a place that he could receive glory. And there's many things that will come your direction that you could be challenged or tried to find the Spirit of God manifesting. Do you realize that in many cases and many times even your business actions and conducts could ruin your testimony? And because of your business conduct and actions, it ruins your testimony and your words have no strength? If you always do upright and walk upright and do what's good for the customer, then when it comes time to speak about the voice of God, then they can see a man that has swore to his own hurt and suffered wrong and considered others greater than himself and better. And then when it comes time to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, they could receive the word. But many times because of the things of the human flesh, which we find greed and selfishness and lust and envy and strife and bickering and all those things, that they see that more alive in your heart and within your spirit. And then it comes time that you want to talk about the Lord Jesus, and that's all they could see and understand of your life, and your words absolutely carry no strength. I speak about dealing with spirits and personalities or people and different things, and I find people that find themselves very distraught. Because when they speak to people, they feel like there's no strength within their voice. And it don't, because they want people, because they esteem themselves so great in their mind. But when they go to speak, they want people to see the greatness that they think they are. And when they speak, they don't sense that or feel that, and they get discouraged. Their time, their words are not being utilized to the potentiality that there should be by living a sacrificial life in Christ. The thing is that we want the life of Christ without sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? Many times we want to just take the glory of God. We want to take the blessings of God. We want to take the goodness of God. But we want to have all of these things with no sacrifice. Now, when we read right here in Romans, the 4th chapter, speaking of circumcision and uncircumcision, and we find that we're speaking truly here about works and we're speaking about faith. Now we're finding that there was a righteousness that was imputed here to Abraham. Why was it? Because he was persuaded in his heart of faith, of the spoken word that came to him and the promise that was given to him. And he was persuaded to know that God would perform exactly what he said. And it was imputed to him as righteousness for standing on that. Now, if this was given unto him, now we find that there was an action to a spoken promise. And the action was to stand and to believe and be persuaded in your heart and not to be moved. Now, when we've come into an application in a present day truth or into our own lives, there's many promises. Now, what we want to do many times is we want to stand on the promises of God in the perspective of thought. Praise God, Jesus died for me and resurrected. That's a good place to start because there's no life outside of that. He is the true resurrection. He is the life. And outside of him, there is nothing. But then yet, when we take these promises of him and we want to believe on that particular promise of the resurrection, of him being the resurrection, and we want to take and simply believe this, then what we do is we want to take that, but we want to bypass some of the other things. If he is the resurrection, what is the manifestation of the resurrection of Christ? You see, this is where we start rending dimensional barriers, as we always use this terminology so oftentimes. But if we're speaking of the body of Christ, and we're thinking that we are the body, then we're the resurrected body of Christ in the earth today. You say, well, I don't see that. I know this because you're in the soul realm and you're in a soulish religion and you don't understand good when good comes and you're waiting for a future promise when you should realize that we are the promise because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You see, when you've got everything waiting on the distant future, as we say so oftentimes, that a deferred hope, the Bible says, sickeneth the heart. And we keep deferring the hope and deferring the hope and deferring the hope. Well, one day when God does this and one day when God does that and someday God's going to bless me and someday God's going to do that. It'll never happen. God don't work that way. When you put something and you're waiting on something to fulfill the calling of God, you'll never come. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. God won't allow it to happen because it puts things out of order in a supernatural God. You know, I use Moses as an example so oftentimes. You know, so Moses, he gets a word from the Lord. He finds a bush burning. The Lord speaks to him to free the people. So I guess he was going to wait around over there before he went into Egypt to free the people and wait for God to make a way for him to do so. I guess he was going to wait for the concrete bridge going across the Red Sea. Or he was waiting again, as I said the other day. It sounds like a foolish statement, but see, we're dealing with carnality. And we think, well, you know, he could have sat there. This is the way you think is why I talk like this in many cases. You know, well, I guess we're going to wait until the Super Walmart and its big warehouse gets over there, that they've got 6,700 pallets of water stacked up to the ceiling that these people could have something to drink. You know, that's the way sometimes people think. Two ministers get together talking and say, hey, brother, let's go over to such and such and do something for the Lord. And maybe we could go over there and preach, or maybe we can go win a soul or set a tent meeting. Well, let me see. And they pull out their checkbook and they line it up, call the bank and see how much money's left on their Visa card, and then think going to go. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I know you use your credit cards. And I say, yay and amen. I got them all filled up. Don't need to call the bank, man. I'm looking for another way to go now. Amen. You see, it's not that I'm against those things, but it's against when you make that the way. You say, go, and whatever God makes a way to provide for you. And then you go and you do it. You know, I don't think a man's lacking in faith if he uses some of the financial stabilities or things that maybe God has blessed him with, that he could go. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that limits where you go, if that limits what you do and what you take on, you'll never go nowhere in God. You'll never do nothing for the Lord. You see, if we're persuaded, as we read here in the scriptures, that he is a provider, and we're persuaded that he is a supplier, and he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, if we are an individual that has come to believe in faith in him and what he says, and we believe that by his stripes that we are healed, and we believe that by his resurrection that we are resurrected with him, been crucified with him, then we need to be persuaded in our heart until we see these things manifested in our life. Now, you say, well, I am persuaded, Brother Rob, that he's the resurrection. I am persuaded in my heart that I'm going to rise again someday, and that one day I'm going to pass from death unto life, and that one day I'm going to be fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ and living with him. And I say, I don't believe you. And you say, but Brother Rob, you're a preacher of faith. You should be encouraging me in my faith. And you should be saying, you know, brother, I believe that. And I'm sitting here telling you, I don't believe that. You know why? Because just like the little allegory I said, if you're out there in the business field and you're talking to a builder and you want to share the Lord Jesus with him, and all of a sudden it don't seem like he's interested in your God. You know why he's not interested in God? He's never saw him. Things have happened in your life that the Lord has ordained to take place, that man could see something in your life. But when you reacted like a regular man, he said, there's nothing in you. They don't see nothing in you. They don't see nothing different about you. You answer according to folly. You answer according to the mind of man, what's good for you. And they don't see long-suffering, patience, gentleness, and kindness in your life and swearing to your own hurt. This is why God allows things to happen sometimes on jobs. Brothers and sisters, I would rather someone take advantage of me in business and be doing something for nothing, that I know that my heart's clear with the Lord. If somebody tried to convince me that I told them I would do something, they come to me and said, no, this is what you said you'd do. You see, brothers and sisters, I would rather do that as bring a reproach and let them laugh at me maybe when I go down the road and say, boy, we really got him. But I know my conscience and heart's clear. That means a whole lot, brothers and sisters. When you pray, when you know that there's no condemnation in Christ to them who walk in the Spirit. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you know how you know you're in the Spirit? Because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And when you're killing out that fleshly man in his ideas, in his thoughts, and in his ways, and all of those, when you're killing him out on a daily basis, then Christ is being exalted and lifted up. And then they see something different about you. This is what the Lord suffers in your life to happen and to take place. For somebody could see something different in your life that you're going to glorify and praise the Lord. As I said the other day, Brother Pike, they took one of his legs off just a few days or weeks, we might say, before he passed away. And you know, but he's down there with the brethren, and his brother come in, and he looked at Brother Pike's feet, and he said, man, Brother George, what's wrong with your feet? And Brother George looked at him and said, there ain't nothing wrong with my feet. Because that man is full of the Antichrist, and still is to this day and hour. And that man would come in, and he would use that to be the same spirit that said, hey, physician, bring yourself down off that cross, if you're who you say that you are. And they would use it to mock him. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a mind of the Spirit. And Brother Pike was a sensitive man to that. To another man that would come in, he might have said to him, he said, well, brethren, pray for me, man. My circulation, I've got diabetes. You never heard him talk like this. As a rule, there ain't anybody to testify to hearing him speak like this, but he could have. I can't say I've heard him say some things in the way of a slight, small congregation or a couple brethren around, but he wasn't one to sit around and gloat in negative conversations. Oh man, thus, us, and us. You know, Paul said, hey, I fought the fight and kept the faith. You know, he knew things was rolling around. Brother Pike, all the way to the end, brothers and sisters, he was persuaded of what God had done for him. And it didn't matter what took place in his body. It didn't mean nothing to him. He knew that he utilized that body to the best of its potentiality. Even when it was in weakness, he kept calling for strength and utilized that thing until he took his last breath. Even to the day that he passed away, he told his son, he said, son, he said, God answers my prayers, and I'm praying to God stop my heart today. And that's exactly what the Lord did. That was a man of faith. He said, God always answers my prayers, and that's my prayer, and that's what I'm going to ask him, and that's what took place. You see, he was a man of faith. And you say, why do you say these things, Brother Rob? Because what I'm saying is there's two different minds the way people look at things. Now, the thing is when Brother Pike was going through these infirmities and some of these things in his physical being, he still was persuaded in his heart that he was serving a God of power, a God of healing, a God of strength. And he continually walked that way, and you saw that manifested in his actions, in his spoken word, and the things he did. But when you observe the body, which the Bible speaks of the lying vanity, you see, and you would observe that, you might have saw something that would have appeared to men different. Now here's a man that had cancer so full in his body that there was sores breaking out on him, and his flesh was stinking like death. And he closed himself in his motorhome, and he said, Lord, I'm staying in here, and I'm going to pray until this is taken away from me. And the Lord took it away from him, and he was supernaturally healed from it and walked. So the man had faith in his life and seen many supernatural miracles in his physical being. And to the things of the infirmities that came his way, he would have been off the scene long years before he did. But he still hanged on, and by faith in God, he added years to his life and went on. Let's continue on here for a moment, speaking about these scriptures. If we start trying to understand the context of this one particular passage of scriptures, which we brought out a little bit of a man that was persuaded in faith, in a promise of God. If that's all we spoke about here this evening, is about you standing on the promises of God and knowing what was written in this word and what the Lord Jesus said is a promise unto you, brothers and sisters, and unto each and every one of us, and we need to learn to stand on the promises of God. We need to take this word and let it become spirit. Sometimes we take this word and say, oh yeah, you know, praise God, Jesus said this or that. But we need to let it be spirit and let it be life and let it be alive today. And when we walk in these promises of the Lord and the spoken word. Now here's where that in the church world, I'll use that terminology for lack of any other way to express it. I don't like to use Christianity with a context of a negativity. Because there's a lot of false Christianity, I guess I could say. And I don't like to use the term church with a negativity, but there is a false church, and then there is a blood-bought church, a true church, and then yet there is a religious institution. Which again, I don't like to use the word religion in a negativity, and I do it all the time. But there's a true and undefiled religion, and then there's another religion such as that is dried up, and it's lukewarm, and it's vomit on the tables of God. So, you know, there again, we differentiate so oftentimes. But again, in many times in the realms of the church world, I can say that, you know, many times people are persuaded that they're going to be partakers of what they call a rapture. And they are persuaded and they truly believe that they're going to be part in a resurrection. And they believe that they're really children of God. And you say, well, is this the kind of hope that you like to see and believe in? It is the kind of hope that I like to hear people confess and believe in. But then yet the Bible does say that some believe a lie and they're damned. You see, there again, we have to differentiate again. And what are they believing in? You see, are they believing in the Bible and this promise that Jesus gave? Well, let me ask you this. If they believe in the promise of the resurrection, the promise that Jesus gave, then they would believe in the promises that they had given unto him in this day and hour. So how could I believe in a resurrection that I'm going to be partakers in this great catching away, we might say, but then yet I can't believe in the resurrection power today? You see, where is the application of the resurrection in this day and hour? Where is it at? Where is faith? Where is hope? Where is this at in our life? If faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So where is this evidence? Let me tell you something. When a man has faith to believe that he is in the resurrection and partakers of the resurrection of God, then he has that hope of that. And there will be an, if the faith is genuine faith of God, there will be an evidence of that faith. What is the evidence of the resurrection in this present day and hour, or in a present day truth? What is the evidence of resurrection? Well, the evidence of resurrection is exactly what it is. It's one that has come and passed from death unto life. Now, the thing is, if we're speaking of passing from death unto life, what is death? Well, you see, that's when they put you in a box. Well, see, you don't know the Bible whatsoever at all. The Bible says that the carnal mind is death. So if I've passed from death unto life, that means that I've passed from carnal way of thinking. You see, then I am numbered in the resurrection. I have passed from death unto life. Now, if I have passed from death unto life and I've entered the promises of God and the promises of the Canaan land, then I've got to cross the Jordan. And the Jordan isn't some river that I've got to go over there and cross. The Jordan is crossing over the intellectual mind. You see, it's bringing these things into a present truth. It's easy to talk about the future. It's easy to talk about the past. But brothers and sisters, when you're in the Spirit, you're in the Lord's day. And you're not looking for a day nor a season because you're in the Spirit and you're in the eternal day of the Lord. And you're not waiting or looking for anything because you know who you are than because you've passed from death unto life. If you don't walk that way and think that way and your hope is in some future manifestation of this, the world is yearning and longing for that manifestation. Your fleshly body, when it's aging and goes through the aches and the pains and the travails and the mournings, yes, it's longing for the manifestation of God to change that fleshly part. Yeah, I understand that. But brothers and sisters, if you keep looking at that, you're going to forsake the mercies of God. because it's the lying vanity. If you think that your hair's not going to change colors or your face isn't going to wrinkle, and that proves that you've got some resurrection or some kind of thing, you're going to fall short. Because brothers and sisters, we could talk about a lot of great men of God that aged and their hair maybe fell out or changed colors and all those things. Oh, but Brother Rob, I believe that we're in a day and hour that we've gone beyond that. I believe that also, brother, but the thing is, nor sister, the thing is what we have to understand is that we speak by faith in the Spirit, and we can't observe the lying vanity. It doesn't matter what happens to this body. It doesn't change a thing. As I said, Brother Pike, not too many days before his crossing, looked me right in the eye, and he said, Brother Rob, he said, it don't matter what happens to this body right here. Just remember the Word of God that I preached. And the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that I preach. That's what he said. It's the truth. This word is true, and let every man be a liar. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, is this what we got to do is stand on the word and believe it. You say, well, brother, I believe that there's going to be a manifestation of these invisible spirit world manifested within humanity in this day and hour. That's the whole thing I'm talking about this evening. You understand what I'm saying? The thing is the way it's manifested in this day and hour is through the transformation of thought and bringing that fallen image of iniquity into alignment of the Word of God and bringing the invisible things of God manifested in your mortal genes. Jesus Christ done that. And you say, well, he was God. Well, so are we. But you say, but he was God, brother. And I say, he was the Son of Man. And he came in the image of sin, but he brought the invisible attributes of a living God manifested in that all men could follow after that. He was the example. He was the firstborn of many brethren. So the thing is what we have to understand is we do not even know him after the flesh. We do not know the Lord Jesus in what he walked among men here. So then why would we look to this man now if we're not to look at the Son of Man when he walked among the earth? We don't know him after that. We know him in the resurrection. What was resurrected, Brother Rob? You see, it goes to the Spirit. Well, you think he was just raised up in the Spirit and the body saw corruption? No, I don't believe that whatsoever at all. But the thing is when he was resurrected, they didn't even know him. You see, they didn't recognize him. So that's not the object that I'm speaking about when I say that he came in that image of the sin nature. You see, that was the glorified image when he said, don't touch me. I have not been back into the Spirit, back unto the Father. Don't even touch this. You see, and he couldn't let him touch it. It was different. It had gone through the fire as pure as gold and purified. And then it went back as the extreme sacrifice and accepted in the Spirit. And these brethren that was left here. Now think about this. The ones that was left here, they had to hear a promise. Do you remember the promise that was spoken unto them? Now think about it. He said, go ye and tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power. Did they do that? Yes, they did. What was the power that they received? It was the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that dwelled within Christ came and dwelled within them. And you say, well, it's the same Spirit, but it came to them by measure. But was it a limited measure, brothers and sisters? What measure is that that comes to you and I? Are we limited? Are you limiting an unlimited God? Has he put any kind of barrier on you? And you say, well, yeah, he has. You know, I can't esteem myself greater than him or he'll cast me out just the same as he did Satan. And I say, that's true. And that would be a good revelation, but you're not in him when you'd esteem yourself greater than him anyway. You would not do that. You see, this is why we speak like we're speaking by the Spirit of God. That you can understand that when you pray, you don't pray amiss. That when you glorify and magnify his kingdom and his throne, you bring nothing to yourself. Because you know that you're the enemy of God. Yeah, I like what I heard a minister say one time. He said, brother, what you need to do is have a funeral. And when you can go over to that graveside and throw the flowers on it and kick the dirt over it and leave it be, don't dig it up no more. But see, sometimes we like our image too much. We like our physique too much. You know, I told one of the kids back here not long ago that, you know, Brother Pike said a good-looking man or a good-looking woman is a curse. You know, and you think, oh, man, I don't know about that. You know, I just can't see that. But it truly is. Let me tell you something. I watch things by the Spirit of God, and you take a beautiful little young woman or a young lady, and the devil will start using her looks and her little figure and the way she moves and sways and talks and winks at the men or glares a little bit, and all of a sudden all things change. They'll learn real quick that, you know, man, sometimes I could cut the line at the grocery store, man, you know, by doing thus and thus. Or sometimes, man, you know, I might get a little bit better deal. They might give me that discount. You know, you could say, well, they're just flirting around. You could say whatever you want to say, but I'm saying I watch it by the Spirit. And what happens is Satan will start taking that physique or taking that woman or that man and start using that for advantage to his kingdom. And his kingdoms are the kingdoms of this world. And this is why the brother would say such a thing, that these things would be a curse, because they're dealing with something that maybe a fat and ugly person may not have to deal with. You know, they have a little more problem doing that. Believe me, I know. But the thing is what we have to realize, as we even read the scriptures right here, we got to understand things by the Spirit. So oftentimes, we take and get an intellectual understanding and we apply it as spiritual understanding. But it's really a natural understanding. Let me rend a veil right here of speaking of that. If we talk about sowing and reaping, and we say, well, sowing and reaping, you know, the Bible said that God's not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. Well, sowing and reaping, it is a spiritual thing, but it isn't all spiritual. It runs in all dimensions. It runs naturally, it runs physically, and it runs spiritually. And you say, well, what is a natural sowing and reaping? Well, the Word of God is very clear on that. If I go out here and sow, and I sow out here in my garden, and I put in corn, I put in vegetables, or put in those things, guess what I'm going to do if I watch over it, and I keep the fowl from coming in and taking it up, keep the sun from scorching it away, and I make sure I put it in on a good soil that it's going to get a root, guess what I'm going to reap? And I'll be sitting back partaking of that. So then we say, what would it be physically speaking? Well, the thing is many times we find the things that we're sowing in a physical perspective of thought, and we can go into different dimensions even in the physical realm because it rends a veil there. But in the physical perspective, you know, if I'm sowing into my body tobacco and sowing into my body alcohol and sowing into my body heroin and sowing into my nose and snorting cocaine and sowing all these kind of chemicals and all those things, guess what? I'm going to reap that. It's going to defile this physical being. It's going to defile it, and it's going to reap the benefits of the things that I've done. It'll reap that. So there is in a physical realm, so what do we do in the spiritual realm? And how do I sow in the Spirit? If the Spirit's invisible, Brother Rob, that no man has seen the Father, how do I sow within the things? You see, where do you sow at? You see, if we're sowing treasures up in heavenly places, where do we sow them at? If I'm putting them away in heavenly places, how do I go about doing that? And we find, again, a rending of a veil. Right there in that particular thought is why, if we could learn to understand this in a 1, 2, 3, then we could say, okay, now he did that with sowing, and he can do this over here with whatever thought it is. You've heard me bring out many things in the 1, 2, 3. Everything that we speak about, I try to bring it out that way. I say a tree has fruit on it. You look out the tree, it's got apples on it. The tree here, physical, it's got fruit on it. And you say, what is a spiritual tree? Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. When you go into the woman, you see in some of these things you can only find a twain, a 1, 2. Because it has to do with the man rending himself twain, and it has to do with a two-ness there. And you won't find that woman in the third dimension because it won't fit there, no male nor female. And this is why in many cases that you have to learn when you're differentiating how to differentiate it properly. So again, if we're talking about sowing and we say that we can sow things to reap in another realm, how do I sow in the spiritual realm? Can I not sow physically speaking or naturally speaking and still so spiritually speaking? And the thing is you say, well, can I have faith? And faith is an invisible act, but then yet it is going to be something to bring forth hope and evidence. The evidence is something seen, isn't it? So I put my faith in an invisible act or action, and I bring it to something that's seen to make it faith. So then if I'm going to take and have to show faith by my works, and the thing is I want to sow and put my treasures away in spiritual places, don't you think that I'm going to have to be doing something naturally and physically speaking to do such a thing? And Jesus had to. He was crucified before the world ever was. So if it was before the world ever was, it was something that wasn't seen by you, but it had to come into a point of manifestation. So if we're going to be speaking about sowing, and I say, you know, if you're going to sow away and put your things away in heavenly places, why did the Lord tell the rich man? He said, go and give everything that you've got away and sell everything you got to give to the poor and then come follow me. Because the man had no spiritual treasures. And Jesus was trying to bring him into the kingdom of God in the spirit and said, this is what you must do. And you say, but then, Brother Rob, that would be works. You see, now we're going to go back to where we started out here in Romans 4, speaking about works of circumcision and works of uncircumcision. And you see, when we come around this way, we got to get the revelation here. Because what happens is we can consider ourselves to be spiritual and think, well, bless God, Jesus did it all for me and he took care of everything for me and I've got to do nothing. And I say, that's a good revelation because that's the only way you'll come to eternal life. But then yet, if you stop there, then your faith is dead and it has no strength. The Bible speaks very clear about faith that is dead. What is faith alive? What does faith do that it's alive? It brings resurrection. It brings that quickening spirit into a manifestation. It brings things into an appearance. So, if I believe in the resurrection, Brother Robin, that's something that you say is in the spirit and the spirit's invisible, and you say that you believe it, how would you prove that to me today? The way I would prove that today is bringing Christ out of this earthen vessel, which is numbered unto death and iniquity, and all men's hearts being fashioned alike, that's greedy and full of lust and full of pride. It has no humility in it, and it is selfish and esteeming itself. And when you crucify that and you kill that out, faith in the resurrection of Christ, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, and you kill that man out and let the attributes of a living God, the invisible attributes of Jesus Christ, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the patience, the kindness, you see, the thoughtfulness, all of the things of the characteristics of Christ, swearing to its own hurt, suffering the wrong, doing good to them that despitefully use, and you bring all those things alive in you, you are the resurrection, and there is no law that stands against that when you can do that. You understand that? Go and read about it in Galatians. It's very clear. There is no law against hope, faith, and charity, brothers and sisters, and without those things, you won't have God. So we could speak about those things in a positive confession of faith, but there has to be a manifestation of them. Now, if we bring that manifestation by mortifying and killing the man out through carnality, which is death, that's passing from death unto life. What is life? He's the spirit of life. And when you have the spirit of life, there's a manifestation now of that life. We bring him alive now. And when we bring him alive now, then when we go into the next dimension, speaking of the transfiguration, witting the redemption of the body, witting the redemption, witting. Now think about it. What does that mean? You tell me. If I stopped right here and I said, you tell me what that means. You say, well, I think it has to do with witnessing it. Well, you're getting a good start right there. What does that mean? Is the redemption future? And I could say yes, but there is the redemption present. If we are the purchased possession, is that something that is going to manifest? You see, if we would understand what it means to wit the redemption of the body, there's a twofold perspective of that. Number one, you will never see the transfiguration of physical flesh in the moment in the twinkling of an eye where it's changed just like that. You will never see that unless you redeem it in the second dimension first. You'll never see it. Now, you need to understand that because that's important to you. And we don't apply it to we as a fleshly man. If you think that guy that you look at in the mirror and your beautiful physical little physique and you're calling that God, that's an abomination in the eyes of God. It's the corruptible image of sin. And that's not at all what God died for. That was part was done away with and killed out and done away with. It's the saving of the soul. And then when the soul being saved, then the spirit coming through the soul, the second heaven, that dimension is going to redeem that body. And it's not going to be no longer that corruptible flesh that you see and take care of and try to do all the things for. That's not what interests God. That is the fallen image of iniquity. And it has got to go back to dust, because that's what it's numbered to, and it will be changed from the corruptible to incorruptible. Two different fleshes altogether. So you need to get that in a revelational sense that you can understand it. Now, I made a statement here just a moment ago that if you are going to be partakers of what we call the resurrection, if you are going to be partakers of what we say the collective change, now what's going to take place, there's going to be a changeover. I don't feel that it's too far off. I might be wrong, but I feel like I understand the mind of God and the spirit of things well enough. I heard Brother Pike preaching a message back in probably the 80s, and he was making a statement. He said, man, this meeting has to do with, you know, basically the changeover going back to the Jew. You see, and here he was preaching it back in the 80s. Here I am in 2006 or something preaching the same thing. Brothers and sisters, there's things that are happening in individuals' life that would have to do with that. You see, a man could come in and get the blinders off of his eyes, the shucks removed from his eyes, and he could come forth in a resurrection and see clearly into the kingdom of God. That's a daily perspective of something that maybe happened to Paul 2,000 years ago, but we bring it into a present day truth and it's happening maybe in your life today. You see, so it doesn't change the fact of the Word of God. But I will say this, when we're speaking again of a collective change, if we're going to talk about the winning of the redemption of that body. Now, as I said a moment ago, winning, we'd have to do with a witness of that. But if I had applied it in the second heaven, in the soul realm, in that particular dimension or physical or blood life, I am going to bring a witness of the invisible things of Christ into a manifestation in this image of iniquity. The Bible says light being veiled in darkness. And I'm going to bring the light of the revelation, the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ in this darkness image of my first birth. That is to bring a witness to the people of this world. You see, so I've redeemed this body. It has to do with the marriage. He said, I show you a mystery when the man and woman marry, that they become one in the flesh. Now that means that I'm bringing this fleshly part one with the Spirit of God, being married unto the Lord Jesus as my husbandman, and I'm bringing this fleshly outer garment of iniquity, the whore, as Hosea was commanded to go marry that thing, but it's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed pure and made like a virgin, spotless and pure. And it goes in before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, into the secret chambers of the Most High God. Now, what we're doing, if you would understand this, this has to do with this marriage and this woman part, the weaker vessel being married unto that, and bringing forth the mind of the man, the masculine, the Christ, into a manifestation in what people see. Now, that has to do with redeeming something. If you look at it as a woman, redeeming or married unto her, bringing her into one mind. You see, when you start differentiating, we could go by the wild tree being grafted in. We can go by the adoption, the outer part being adopted in. The birthing's in the spirit. It's being born in the spirit. That's what the Bible says very clearly, that you must be born again. And it's talking about a born of the spirit. You see, I can't be born again, physically speaking, brothers and sisters. You can only be born one time in that particular dimension. Do you understand that? So this is why we have to differentiate these things. So if I'm partakers of a birth, then it has to be in the spirit. So I got to speak in that dimension and understand that dimension of the spirit and line everything up with the spirit. And then I got to come over in the natural realm and line everything up in the natural and the blood life realm, physical, and line it all up there. And this is where many people go wrong right here, is that they get some truth of a dimension of the second, and they get some truth of a dimension of the third, and they don't know how to keep these things differentiated, and they apply it in the wrong order, the wrong wrong time or the wrong realm, and it brings lots of problems and confusion. And you say, well, the Bible says confusion's of the devil. That's right, the confusion is in you, not in me. It's not confusing to me. There's no confusion in it because I differentiate these things and keep them line upon line and precept upon precept and keep these dimensional projections in order in God. And what happens is you hear something thinking that you know something and you put it in the wrong dimension. You see, there's a lot of revelational truths that I preach, and people apply them in the wrong realm. And they go around believing like they're a child of God, and they feel like they're justified. The whole church world's doing this. I'm not sitting here exhorting you or rebuking you. I'm talking about the whole church world. There's people out there, oh, bless God, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Praise God, I spoke in tongues. Praise God, I danced in spirit. Praise God, I had a vision. Oh, I had a dream. Oh, he spoke to me, manifested. I saw him. I was caught away to heaven. I just, and they're just walking around believing a lie and they're damned. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them because he is not given to change. Woe unto them given to change. And when you find a man given to change, is he spiritual today? He wants to talk about God today. He wants to be in the world tomorrow. He wants to live like a dog and a devil one day. And he wants to live like a son of God one day. And that's the serpent trail. That's a crooked trail. The street called straight is what Paul had to get on. Got the shucks off of his eyes. And he walked as one that overcame the things of the world. You want to be in the resurrection? Let's sum this thing up. If you want to be partakers of the resurrection and be in the resurrection, then what you're going to do is bring the invisible attributes of Jesus Christ forth out of this tomb. The old hard heart, the stone's going to roll away. Christ is going to manifest in you. And you're going to walk as more than a conqueror with the power to tread on the scorpions and the serpents, and there can't be anything laid to your charge. You know why? Because you put them under your feet. They're not going to say, you know, brother, you're a drunkard. You know why they're not going to say that? Because it can't be laid to your charge because you've overcome alcohol. They say, brother, you're a liar. And you're going to say, you know what? I've overcome that old lying thing because I put it under my feet. And they say, brother, you know, you've done wrong or you stole or you cheated or you done this. You say, know what? Them things are under my feet because I've got the resurrection power of the living God dwelling in me, and he's given me all power, all authority over every unclean and over everything, and I've come out of this world. I'm not part of this world. Amen. I am in and part of the resurrection. I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Just as Jesus said when they asked him about the resurrection, he said, I am the resurrection. So you can say, Brother Rom, when is the resurrection going to take place? And I say, brothers and sisters, I am the resurrection because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I passed from death unto life. I cannot die. I'm greater than a conqueror, amen, because I've conquered death, hell, and the grave, amen. Hallelujah. Death has been conquered right now in the second dimension because we've done away with human reasoning and carnality, and we've mortified that thing and killed it out, amen. So the thing is because of that very action, the very thing that takes place, then you will see what the world is yearning and longing for. And it's what I've always been. Someday some will find themselves coming in by their own blood and saying, you know what, that preacher really did believe what he was preaching because they saw him changed standing before him just like that. And the thing is when you see that change just like that, it will inspire faith in some. When they see great men of old walking before them, it'll inspire their faith to see that change. Amen. But brothers and sisters, the world's yearning and longing for that. And the thing is you need to be walking in that mind and in that resurrection. You see, it doesn't have nothing to do with this. It has nothing to do with what you see with your eyes. Amen. Nothing whatsoever. It has to do with the Spirit. And the thing is there's the invisible Spirit of resurrection, a living God dwelling in this tabernacle, speaking to you, just as it did when Jesus walked the earth, just as it did when Brother George walked the earth, or Brother Branham, or if it was Brother Martin, or if you want to talk about Luther, whoever you want to speak about, it was there walking among the men, the same Spirit. If you want to talk about Elijah, Abraham, David of old, it doesn't matter. It's all one and the same Spirit to glorify the one God, the one and true God. Amen. So that's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. It's not to look at you and to make you somebody or me somebody. You say, well, when you speak, you think that you're something. I'm speaking of he's something and I'm nobody and he made me somebody because I'm one with him. You see, I'm not boasting in anything I've done or earned. I'm boasting in what he's done, and I believe it. That's what I'm doing. You see, I can differentiate that. I'm not saying these things for y'all look at me and say, oh man, but I can say, take the hold of Brother Rob's hand and I'll lead you into the kingdom of God. Paul said, follow me. That's what he said. Oh, but Brother Rob, you're mistaken. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. You need to go back and read the Bible. He did say that in one place, but in another place he said, follow me. I'm not ashamed to tell people to follow me because I know who I'm following, and it's Jesus Christ. And I know where I'm going, and it's with him. And I'm sealed in with him, hid away with him, caught away with him. I don't care how you want to say it. And the thing is, if you keep your eyes on Brother Rob, amen, as not the man part, but on the part that's locked in with Christ, you'll never go wrong. And you say, well, man, I just can't agree with the way you said that. Well, that's because you're afraid to speak by faith. But I'm speaking by faith. Now, I could turn around and speak to you as a man, and I could say this, don't follow me if you see me turn away into iniquity. Don't follow me if you see me go back into the ways of the world and the love of the world. Don't follow me if you see, you know, idolatry and fornication and perversion and drunkenness and evil and all those things in me. I say, run from Brother Rob. But you see, I'm not speaking after that Adamic nature of the first man, Adam, and that fallen one. I'm speaking as a brother that has crucified the sinful image of the fleshly man and mortified the deeds of that man and killed them away. And I'm speaking as one that is partakers of the resurrection. It's been resurrected in Christ, was first crucified with him before the world ever was, name put down in the book of life, and now I'm speaking out of the authority and power of the resurrection of Christ, amen, dwelling within me, and I'm speaking by that and saying, hey, praise God, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm living forever, I cannot die, amen. Hallelujah. And if you want, just as Jesus said, hey, come drink of what I'm drinking of and you'll never thirst again. I could say the same thing. Hey, brothers and sisters, drink what I've been drinking of and you'll never ever thirst again. And you say, but he was the resurrection. And I could say, yea and amen. He spoke that before the resurrection of what you say when he came out of the ground. He was still walking among men. He said, I am the resurrection. Now, the thing is if y'all went out here and stuck me and plugged me in the dirt out there, put a little granite stone out there, and you said, oh, poor guy died. He just didn't believe what he said. And then you saw me come up in that big old pile of dirt out there, and I come walking in, you'd say, whoa, man, I'm going to listen to him a little bit more. You observe lying vanities. You shouldn't wait for something like that. You should hear what I'm saying now. You understand that? Because we're people that speak by faith and live by faith. You see, but you see that, and all of a sudden things would be different. He said, I'm afraid of you that are seeking after a sign like that. What did he say when he spoke about a sign? He said it was a sign that spoke about Jonah. You know, and speaking about going into the belly of hell, so to speak. He said he'd give you a sign, and that's what he spoke about. But then he turned around and done that very thing. You see, brothers and sisters, we're going to have to get a hold of faith and walking in the Spirit of God. What is in your life that is perfecting faith right now? Brother Pike said, you know, people want to have enough faith in the resurrection. They want to have enough faith to pass from death unto life, but they don't exercise faith in their life. What have you done to exercise faith in your life today? As we read here, if Abraham was persuaded, what are you persuaded about today? What is something that it is in your life that persuades you to stand in hope and belief and faith? I could put things in that I know God's put in different one of your lives that I could say that this is absolutely what God put in your life that you could be persuaded in faith to see the lying vanity pass. You understand what I'm saying? That you could see this thing go. What are you conquering? If you're more than a conqueror, what are you conquering in this day and hour? Oh, but Jesus conquered all things for me. Well, then if he conquered everything for you, then why do you war with infirmities in your life? See, there's something. Did he conquer that for you? And I say, yeah, he did. Then why haven't you conquered it? He said he made you more than conquerors. So that means that you have to conquer something. He made you good soldiers for Christ. That means you must be warring against someone. He gave you the helmet of salvation. That must mean he has an expectation of you fighting. He said, fight the good fight of faith. He gave you the sword of the Spirit. He gave you the shield of faith. He gave you the breastplate of righteousness. He gave you the gospel shoes of peace. You understand what I'm saying? Why did he give you all these things? For you could sit down on R&R on Easy Street and say, praise God, look what Jesus done for me. Let me tell you something. Why don't you sit over here in your country called America and sit in your Easy Street and let some of these Muslims and some of these people come over here on our soil and start killing our people and saying, hey, praise God. You know, George Washington, he went across the Potomac River and he fought them people. And this is why we got our country. You better show them that you got the same kind of fight in you if you're going to keep your land. You understand that? We can't talk about what they've done. You know, we've got to look at what they've done as an example, and we got to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. So the thing is you could keep talking about what Jesus has done for you, and what he done for you is he's made you joint heirs with him, gave you everything that's pertained unto life, and he gave you the power, he sent it back, and he gave you the power of the Holy Ghost, for you could sit in your easy chair on R&R and sit back and talk about how good he is. No, he gave you the power, brothers and sisters, to fight the good fight of faith. He gave you the power to overcome death, hell, and the grave. He gave you the power, brothers and sisters, to tread on the scorpion and the serpents and to get yourself beyond the grips of death. He gave you the power to overcome human reasoning and carnality. He gave you the power to conform to his image, not the image of man. Can you even discern the difference between the image of God and the image of man? Have you ever considered that? I'm exhorting you a little bit here. Sometimes we go through life, oh, praise God, I'm a Christian. Oh, he gave me the power to conform to his image. Like I say so oftentimes, do you do things that you can't see Jesus doing? I mean, if you see things in your life that you can't see Jesus doing, then you're not conforming to his image. Do you understand what I'm saying? I tell you, I love the Lord, amen. And I'm pressing in, trying to do the best that I can, amen. Let's give him a hand, amen. Hallelujah. I don't reason, brothers and sisters, with people. The thing is you know what? All I want to do is press my way into the things of God, try to exhort people in good things in Christ, and say, you know, let's do something for the Lord. Amen. This ain't a one-man show, you know, hey, look at me, this and that. I'm looking to you, brother, and saying, come on, let's do something for God. I got expectations out of every one of you. Have you made yourself available? Have you really made yourself available? Sometimes you get in these ruts, and it's like an old tire track that's wore down, and you're in a rut, and you can't get yourself out. And you just keep going right back through the same old rut. And sometimes it's getting deeper. And one of these days, you're going to have to get yourself out of that and start treading on some new ground. What makes you think that you got to stay in that same place? Is it a curse? Is it something that has cursed you? Come on, where's your faith? Where's your believing? And what we got to do is say, okay, Lord, I recognize it. That's the first thing to do. You know what? When a man is an alcoholic, just using it for an example, you know, and he keeps on denying it, nah, you know, put it down, but man, he's always got the bottle stuck up in the air and sucking the stuff down. See, he'll never get help and never can receive help because he hasn't believed that the problem's there. But once he comes to a realization that he has a problem, then that's a good beginning for a solve of the problem. You understand what I'm saying? And many times, brothers and sisters, is that when you preach like I'm ministering even this evening, people don't apply it to them as being a problem because they persuaded themselves. I know we're talking about the persuasion that Abraham had of faith, and he believed the promise of God. Okay, so I'm going to close this sermon up with that right there. So I'm talking about him persuading. You say, well, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded in my mind that I'm a child of God. Okay? Then if you're persuaded of that and it's truly a persuasion in faith that was imputed to Abraham as righteousness, guess what's going to happen? Listen closely to me. That persuasion is going to bring a manifestation. The Bible said faith does what? It brings forth a substance and an evidence. Is that correct? An evidence, I could sit here tonight and say, brothers, I'm a millionaire. Who cares about that? I really don't care if I'd spend it if I was. I couldn't say that tomorrow. I could say I'm a millionaire today and tomorrow. I couldn't say that because I'd give it away. I mean that truly. I would. I'd give it away so quick, so I couldn't be a millionaire very long. But I'm much greater than a millionaire, brothers and sisters. My Father gives me everything, man. Amen. And I'm rejoicing in him. So, speaking of faith, if I said, hey, just using it as an example, hey, I'm a millionaire. And you say, Brother Robert, are you speaking that by faith? And I say, well, sure. Okay, well, then yet, if I'm speaking that and believing that and have faith in that, there's going to be an evidence of that. And one day, there is an evidence that comes forth on a little slip from the bank. He's got $1 million in the bank. And now, that would be an evidence. Is that correct? Okay, so now the thing is, brothers and sisters, if I am persuaded in the promise of God, now Abraham was persuaded in a promise of God, and he received the promise of God and brought forth a seed, is that correct? And was the father of many and of all. When we're looking to that seed. And this is an allegory of the seed of Christ. So now I've received a promise from Christ, the Lord Jesus. And I'm persuaded in the promise of that seed from Christ. Now, if I'm persuaded in that, and I have a hope in that, and I am going to stand in that, then what does that mean? There's got to be an evidence of that hope. What is that? What is the evidence of that hope? Tell me. It is the manifestation of the Son of God. Now, is this future? Is it distant? What is that? It's now. You see, because we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, I'm not speaking to you as carnal. I'm not speaking to you as men. I'm speaking to you as unto spirituals. If I could speak unto you as spiritual and you could see in the Spirit, you could hear in the Spirit, and you pray in the Spirit, you speak by the Spirit, and you walk in the Spirit, then you know that you have passed from death unto life and that you are everything that pertains unto life, and there can be nothing plucked out of His hand. There can be nothing laid to your charge. Amen. So now, if that is faith and there is a hope and an evidence of believing in that faith, then how do you walk today? As what? An overcomer. You walk in the power and the victory of Christ Jesus. Now, when this is manifesting in this physical being, in the second heaven, in the transformation of mind and thought, and it becomes a vocal utterance of speaking through you, and comes into a manifestation of you redeeming that body to walking in righteousness, and you've mortified the deeds and the thoughts of the man and killed them out, and you're walking that, then there will be a day that the world sees exactly what we're speaking about. Do you understand that? And that's when it wits the redemption of the body to the thing when it goes back to the Jew and the day of the Gentiles over, and the church world of America will find itself in the tribulation because they're carnal minded, which is death, and they'll come in by their own blood, and they will see you as the sons of God manifested before them. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So there is, again, bringing that thing into a manifestation, bringing it into an evidence, bringing it into an understanding. Do you believe what I'm saying? You see, this isn't some little intellectual concept that we got to get a hold of. It's got to become into an application. Let me say this. If you have sickness in your body, you can say, Brother Rob, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that He took His stripes for me. I believe that His back was plowed like a field for me to receive my healing. And I say, well, that's good, brother. That's exactly the way you're supposed to believe. But then when you are persuaded in your heart that He has done that and you stand on that, then every adversary of every carnal thought that comes to you and says, you know what, He didn't do that for you, or comes along and says, you know what, you ain't going to receive that. You know, what did the one say to the Lord Jesus? Help me in my unbelief. Amen. So the thing is you see, we let Satan rob us. You understand that? Of where we should be with God. Because he comes in and lies to you. He's the accuser of the brethren. Well, God ain't going to let you have that. Oh, you don't have enough faith. You don't believe. Don't you think Abraham heard that? Man, look at you, man. You're up 100-some years old. And you think God's going to do that? Man, your wife's been barren for all them years. Don't you think those thoughts came to him? What about her? When she laughed at the Lord. Think about it. But you see, brothers and sisters, there was a man standing and believing. Even though there was people mocking and laughing and doing those things, stood and believed. Have you been there in your faith? When people mock you and laugh at you and say, oh yeah, this and that, and you keep standing and you keep believing. I've been there before. I've been there and saw God move and manifest and bring it to pass. What's in your life today that you're standing and believing for? What is in your life today that the preparation, the evil thing that stands before you, why is it there? Because God sent it there for faith could be cultivated and made known in this earth and in this present time. Maybe God's looking to you to be a savior. Maybe he's looking to you to win a soul, and these things are coming your way, just like it did the Son of Man when he walked on the earth, and all the things and the afflictions and the persecutions and the tribulations come on him, and he could stand before people and say, there's something different about him. What did the Roman centurion at the foot of the cross say? There's something different about that man. They're nailing him to a cross and he's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's something different about him. And when you're being persecuted or these kind of tribulations and things are coming against you, and you just say, and you look at him and say, hey, I love you. Man, everything's fine. Praise God. Oh, I know you just ripped me off, but hallelujah. You know what? I love you, man. It's okay. I had no expectation of any kind of return anyway. I love you, man. somebody say, you know, there's something different about him. But when you got animosity and you got envy, you got jealousies and bitterness and strife, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That ain't there. Where do you call yourself a child of God and a Christian and have all those in your heart? God has allowed those things to come for you. You can see them in your own heart and say, you know what, I'm going to kill those things out. I'm getting rid of all that. And when you mortify it and you kill it out and get those things out of your heart, then guess what we see? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the present day and hour. The manifestation of the sons of God. He gave us power, brothers and sisters, to be the sons of God. What's happening in your life? You know, you could look at me, you could look at Dale, you could look at Jeff, you could look at Randy. I'm talking about you. What do you see when you look in the mirror? What's going on in your life? Are you in the faith? Have you challenged yourself to see if you'd be in the faith? Have you seen what God's doing in your life? Who's looking on your life? Fathers, mothers, there's children looking on your life. Boy, it's a sad thing when a child loses the testimony of his own parent. It's a sad thing. And when you could be their salvation and a savior to them to see moms and dads stand in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, there's opportunities around you every single day to be a soul winner. And there's things where people are looking at you. And when they see a change in your heart and something different about you, it's going to move them. And then when you speak, your word's got strength and your word's got power. You understand what I'm saying? Let's stand together. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? I love y'all and appreciate y'all. I don't think I could stand before a finer people. But I can tell you this, we got to press and keep pressing in.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.